you know, I take myself a lot of personal satisfaction in seeing the look on somebody's face when they land a trout or when they harvest a bear or a deer, mm-hmm. and, you know, knowing that I was part of that.
Hey there, welcome to the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast, a show featuring engaging and entertaining ideas, discussions, and stories about fishing, hunting, camping, and pretty much anything outdoor related. In this episode, I'm going to be talking with Blake Milberry of Mill Lake Outfitters. Blake is an experienced hunter, angler, and guide who enjoys taking his clients on remote wilderness adventures in search of bear, deer, and speckled trout. For those who don't know you, you hail from Bear River, Nova Scotia, correct?
Yeah, that is right.
Awesome. How long have you lived there your whole life?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Right on. I know that part of the Maritimes all too well. I spent a lot of my summers down there chasing striped bass. I'm kind of surprised our paths didn't cross more often, but maybe you were in the woods more than you were in the river.
Probably during that time, I would have been in the woods more. Yeah.
I think that was a lot of the time I was fishing down that way was, I think, around September. So you guys have another business in Bear River there as well.
Yeah, we have the cafe, Myrtle and Rosie's Cafe, that my wife owns and runs.
Nice.
Yeah, popular little spot with the locals.
Yeah, well, there's not a whole lot of eating establishments right in the town there, is there?
No, currently we're the only one. We operate all year long.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was one thing that was important when Michelle got it. She wanted to make sure, because we've had them before and they were great places, but I mean, it's Bear River in the wintertime. The forests are gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, but she wanted to try to make a go of it 365 days a year and keep the staff working.
Excellent. No, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, I know I've got you know, my grandparents lived up on just up over the hill from me there.
Yes,
they did. And I have a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles, and I hear regularly that they enjoy stopping in and having a bite there, so.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. I guess tell us a little bit about your fishing and hunting experience down that way. I mean, I assume you were introduced as a child, were you not?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like most families around here, I mean, everybody hunted, everybody fished. My family was no exception. My father hunted. My grandfather was quite a well-known sportsman in the area. And all my uncles hunted or fished, and it's all I ever really knew.
Mm.
I was, from a very early age, my earliest memories were a deer hanging in the shop, or my grandfather landing to show us a big striper he had caught,
mm-hmm.
or you know, following my father somewhere through the woods to catch some trout. And so I guess it was bred right into me.
Yeah, nice, for sure. I mean, it's an absolutely fantastic part of the Maritimes. If anybody has not visited Bear River or the surrounding areas, I would highly recommend it. You know, it's a great place to go, you know, a day trip, accessible anywhere from the Maritimes, and you know, the Annapolis Basin and Digby Neck and all that's not far away. It's
I mean, just 2.5 hour drive from Halifax, and I mean, you're here.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a magical place. I remember going down there as a child, you know, visiting my grandparents and taking the train down when they had that running, and just fantastic. So, you know, at what point did you decide that, you know, you'd like to try and work some form of a business into, you know, your outdoors interests?
Well, the way it came about was a few years ago, quite a few years ago now. I mean, I got introduced to bear hunting, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of people doing it at the time, not in the numbers that they are now. The bear population was really starting to explode in the province. So I got into it, and some of my friends who had never experienced before started seeing me having some success. So they contacted me, or else I contacted them and said, you know, hey, you got to come try this.
Yeah.
And the way it evolved was my cabin became the destination for a lot of my friends every September to come down and go bear hunting. And then it went to the point where even some people I didn't know would contact me. And a lot of it was through NovaScotiaHunting.com, of course. And, you know, they say, I've always wanted to try this, you know, and I just wanted as many people to be introduced to it as possible. So I said, sure, come on down. And after a while, basically, I was guiding without getting paid for it.
Right.
And expensive undertaking.
Yeah.
No. Probably more than any other. Well, I guess no. I guess if you can, waterfowling, and that
right.
would be a pretty expensive hobby to get into. But a mutual friend of ours, Perry, he was down one bear season, and we was bringing in a bear that one of our friends had shot, and he was watching everything that was going on, and he looked at me, and he said, "You fool." You know, he said, you got to start charging for this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in Nova Scotia, of course, if you want to charge for it, you have to be a licensed guide. So,
right.
you know what, this was something that had always been in the back of my mind, something I had wanted to do. It's something I enjoyed doing. So I wrote the guides test and passed and went from there.
Excellent. You know, it is just something. It does make sense for people, for some people. And I mean, it definitely did in your situation. And, you know, like you say, you know, you were essentially guiding for free, which, you know, I mean, is fair, because in the early days, you know, it's all good experience and stuff. But after a while, the bills have to get paid.
Well, yeah, that was it. And I mean, it was something I always loved doing. I mean, I think, and everybody's the same. You kind of live vicariously.
Sure.
Through other people. So maybe when your tag's gone, your hunting season may be over. It's a way to continue it. And, you know, the same as with fishing, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I take myself a lot of personal satisfaction in seeing the look on somebody's face when they land a trout, or when they harvest a bear or a deer, and, you know, knowing that I was part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not, and you know, it's interesting, because the more people I talk with, that's not something that's that common. I'm finding I have a lot of people, you know, who, of course, I've been a fishing guide since the age of 16, and I run into the same kind of thing where, you know, I really like the excitement and satisfaction that somebody gets when they catch a, you know, a nice fish, or even, you know, a fish. Doesn't have to be a nice fish for a lot of people, or a nice animal. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of people I run into that are like, you know, I don't know how you can just sit back all day and watch somebody catch fish.
It's a long day.
It can be a long day, but like you say, you know, there's a great deal of satisfaction that comes from that. And not just because, you know, you're actually generating some form of income. There is something to it.
A guy told me one time that he said he wanted to become a guide, and I asked him why. And he said, well, I love to hunt and fish. And I said, well, then the last thing you want to be is a guide.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now it's all about watching other people hunt and fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, at this point in your life and career, I'm guessing that, you know, you're not an old guy. We're not old, but I'm guessing that, you know, you've experienced, you know, you've had a great deal of your own action in the woods and on the water, and, you know, so the rest is just kind of gravy. So
yeah, and it's not that a great hunter or a great fisherman because I'm not, but it's I've done a lot of it.
Right. Yeah, I think I've heard Perry say the same thing, and I'm looking for, I think he's going to be on the show down the road a little bit.
But there's a truth in that. You're not hiring skill, you're hiring experience.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, naturally, the more you do something, the more likely you may be more skilled than the average person. But yeah, I think there is kind of a misconception with guides that, just because you're a guide doesn't necessarily mean you're an expert in all aspects of it. But
No, absolutely not.
I understand, I've talked to a lot of people who have been down and been in the woods with you and on the water with you, and everybody speaks very highly of it. And so I guess maybe just tell us a little bit about, the average. Well, we'll start with hunting, and then we'll go into fishing experience as well. But so when somebody lands in Bear River to do a bear hunt, how does it usually play out?
Okay, well, bear hunting starts in September, usually on the second Monday. I guess always on the second Monday in September. And they arrive, somebody come in the first week, they would arrive the day before, and we get them situated in the cabin. Then, we spend the evening getting to know them, of course, because that's a lot of exciting is getting to know these people because everybody has different personalities and you want everybody to feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
And then the next day, I mean, bear hunting normally, unless the trail camera is shown as something different, takes place in the afternoon. So the next morning is a chance to start going over with them what to expect. If it's a first-time bear hunter, we do a little thing called bear school. And all it is basically showing them what to expect and talk about things like shot placement. And what to do after the shot, what not to do, things like that, and a chance for them to sight in their bow, make sure that nothing got knocked out of place or whatever. And from there in the afternoon, it's off to the stands we go. And if a client, I mean, if he likes and he wants to, which most of them do, if he tags out in the first day or two, I mean, he's still got. It's a 5-day hunt. He's still got some days there. If it's in season and we have the right amount of water, they can go fishing. Or, maybe they just want to travel around with us as we check the baits, which a lot of them do. And I'm surprised at that. They want to be part of it. They want to see what goes into it and experience that for themselves. So they're running around with us checking cameras and baiting barrels for other people. And the atmosphere that I try to promote there is, and not to knock any operation, but is not where you're just somebody coming into a lodge and gone again. The one we try to promote a more of a camp atmosphere where the traditional going to camp with your buddies for a week in season, and that's so you, I mean, we're all hunters too, so. That's kind of in what I try to promote, and the people are responding to it very positively. So it's a very relaxed atmosphere. You're not assigned a certain guide. One day I might take you to a spot. The next day, one of my other guides might say, "You know what? Come try this spot," or things like that. It's very, very relaxed, and we work hard to make sure everybody gets their bear.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like a bit of a unique approach compared to a lot of other hunting outfitters that I've seen and experienced. Yeah, it is interesting how a lot of people, especially non-residents, I find, who come out fishing, seem to be more captivated with the surroundings, the wildlife that's taking place, and an engaging conversation as opposed to just, I've got to get that trophy and then I'm going home.
That's right. And I mean, one thing I hear a lot is the beauty of this area. the clients I have, some of them have traveled all over the world for different sporting adventures.
Right.
And, you know, when they're telling me they've been down to Argentina fishing, or, you know, in the Yukon hunting, mm-hmm. or wherever, and they still are impressed with, you know, the landscape around here, and every place is different.
Yeah.
And every place has its appeal.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely. It's truly fantastic here in the Maritimes, and hopefully more people will get to experience that. Are you driving into your areas, or do you do fly in, or?
Depending on where the hunting site is located, all of them you're going to have to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a 2-minute walk. It might be a 10-minute walk. We drive in and then park and then walk into the sites.
Mm-hmm.
That's with the bears, because they're established stations. I mean, we hunt over bay, of course, and I start usually by August 1st, I will have all my bait sites baited,
mm-hmm.
and cameras set up so I can start getting a handle on which ones I want to use, where the good bears are, which ones to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a sow and cubs that's using it. And of course, you know,
mm-hmm.
not only is it illegal to hunt them, but I mean, we don't want to hunt them anyway.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to waste bait on them.
No, no.
So, you know, I get my sites developed, and by the second week in September, when season starts, I have a fairly good handle on the bear population in the area and where the bears are that we want to hunt.
Cool. So do you deer hunting as well?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And deer hunting has traditionally been a hard sell, mm-hmm. in the Maritimes. Of course, everybody wants to go out west.
Mm-hmm.
Alberta, Saskatchewan,
mm-hmm.
Manitoba for deer hunting. I think it's because it was just better known,
mm-hmm.
and a higher population. But in the last few years, especially with social media, people are starting to see now that we do have some really big deer here. Now, where you might not see them in the numbers that you see out west, I mean, the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And the size of the bodies and the
right.
size of the animals, you know, are great. So the deer hunting, I do that. It's been slow, but it is picking up every year.
Hmm. Interesting. And beyond that, you also do, sort of trout fishing adventures, correct?
Yes. And especially in the backcountry.
Like the Tobiatic Wilderness, is that what you call it?
We're blessed right here, actually, because Bear River has traditionally been known as the gateway to the Tobiatic.
Right.
There's a long history here of guides, you know, going back, you know, over 100 years.
Mm. This
was a popular destination for traveling sportsmen, especially from the U.S., to come up here back when there was a huntable moose and caribou population.
Mm-hmm.
Those are gone. But the Tobiatic is protected wilderness. Itself, you know, is pretty much unchanged.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the bears are gone now, but the beauty is still there, the ruggedness, and the trout.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we go in and we go by canoe, and we stay in tents, and you cook your meals over an open fire, and, you know, it doesn't see a lot of traffic in there because of just the remoteness of it.
Yeah.
You could be in there 5 or 6 days and never see another soul.
You know, I've seen the pictures, and one of these days I'll get down. But it's great country back there, and it's nice that there is still a relatively decent trout population, which, you know, that in itself is fairly rare these days.
Yeah, and I mean, if you compare it to probably what it was years ago.
Mm.
And I mean, even in what time I've been traveling in there, you know, you'd be lying to say it's as good as
right.
what it was.
Right.
That goes with anywheres.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that things are picking up.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of deep soil in there. So the area was, you know, heavily affected by acid rain
right.
in the past. But in the last 10 years, there's been a major decrease in the amount of pollution coming up off the eastern seaboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're seeing a positive effect, especially in the Tobiatic.
Well, that's good. That's really good to hear. Because, acid rain has been a major issue all over the Maritimes here. And so I understand that, you get people in, inquiring, all different kinds of people. So, you've got some interest from even artists that want to go in to the Tobiatic this year and look around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Go on a trip deep into the Tobiatic into some areas that don't see very many people at all, just because of its remoteness, and go in there and photograph, sketch, paint, do whatever, get inspiration, and
nice.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that, and I'm thinking that that's a part of the market that I've never really paid a lot of attention to before.
Yeah, I think there's some unique trends starting to happen, with regards to outdoors, and just, I think a lot of it is just disconnecting, from the rest of the world. And, I think it would be really, inspirational, relaxing, whatever, motivating to, to get away if you're an artist and get back where, there's nothing, no distractions, just the wild. And, and you've also had an interesting inquiry from a hunter, I gather.
Well, hunter would be how you define it.
Yeah.
You would call him a hunter. He coined a phrase that I guess really piqued my interest, and it was catch and release hunting.
Yeah. How does that work?
Well, that's what I asked. And he hunts with a camera.
Uh-huh.
So he's got all the gear. He sprays down with the scent killer. He goes and he sits on the stand, and he might be looking for a certain animal, the same that as any other hunter,
Mm-hmm.
Because you get hunters that say, I don't want any bear. I want this bear.
Right.
And he was asking me about what I thought of that and everything, which, of course, because the way he explained it to me, he said, I'm doing everything that anybody else that hunts does, right down to where he said, I put the crosshairs of the lens on the animal, and he said, and I pulled the trigger on the camera.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, looks like it's going to be a go for this year. I think wildlife viewing is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a division,
yeah.
That's very evident between people who just choose to view wildlife over people that, choose to hunt.
Right.
This might be a way to kind of bridge the gap a little bit. And anyways, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's cool. And who knows, maybe, unless he's working for a magazine or something, maybe he can share
no,
some.
I did ask that, but no, yeah. He's just, he's like any traveling sportsman or tourist.
Yeah.
He wants to get to see different areas, have different experiences. And this is his passion. He asked, do you have that certain bear that's one of a kind? Like maybe, a little heavier than the rest, or
mm-hmm.
might have unique white spot on it or something like that, because then he has, a target that
right.
The same unknown that's there that intrigues hunters, I guess, is there for him.
Right.
He doesn't know whether he's going to see it or not. He's hunting for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's fascinating. Yeah. And and I guess bonus that that animal that he's looking to snap a photo of is going to be around for someone else.
Yes, I mean there is that too, and it is a very intriguing idea, and I think it's great. I mean, I respect everybody's wishes when it mm-hmm. and opinions when it comes to hunting. You know, it's not for everybody, but you know, any way that promotes or, you know, a sustainable use of our resources,
yeah,
you know, is great.
Yeah, fascinating. That's awesome. So I guess we didn't even mention the name of your outfitting business so far, but it's going to be in the title of the episode. But so Mill Lake Outfitters, is that something you came up with when you started the business, or is it sort of the name?
Yeah. Well, that's where my cabin is. Mm-hmm. It's on a very small lake called Mill Lake. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess it's a little bit of a misconception that everything takes place in Mill Lake. Basically, it's just where the cabin is, and we hunt the surrounding area or fish the surrounding area, you know, all through southwestern Nova Scotia.
Nice. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, the best way, well, you know, they can, I guess you're most active on Facebook, it seems.
Well, that's where everybody is.
These days, at least for sure, whether things change in the future or not, we'll have to see. But, and I think right now it's set up so that if someone goes to milllakeoutfitters.com, it'll redirect there. And, you know, if you get a different website set up, it'll be on there. It'll redirect there as well. But
like I said, you know as well that we will be getting a web page back up soon.
Yeah.
And but Facebook, of course, and I mean, I'm also on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Find me there.
Nice. So. Nice. Your phone number pretty well the same all the time. If somebody wants to reach you directly, is that a good option, or should they just stick to the web?
Yeah, the phone number I give, I mean, is at the host. It's 902-467-3242. Cell phone service in this area is spotty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still not great. I mean, most of the places actually that we hunt and fish, we have no service. So
that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
but it is nice. Mm-hmm. And so I give the home number, that way I will get the message and respond to you as quick as I can.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome, Blake. You know, thanks for being on the show today, and you know, hopefully some people will check it out and get to experience that part of the province with you, or just, you know, taking a drive down and maybe grabbing a bite at the cafe.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right. Well, you
have me on here, Dave.
Hey, no worries. You take care. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to episode 21 of the Maritime Outdoorsman podcast, where I connected with Blake Milberry of Mill Lake Outfitters. Blake's in Bear River, Nova Scotia. So if you are going to be in that particular neck of the woods, be sure to stop by, check out Myrtle and Rosie's Cafe. There's links to Mill Lake Outfitters as well as Myrtle and Rosie's Cafe on the show notes page, which can be found at maritimeoutdoorsman.com/021. So thanks again for tuning in. Take care. And if you want to subscribe to this podcast, you'll automatically be notified whenever we release a new episode. Just go to iTunes, search for Maritime Outdoorsman, and you'll find us there, and you can subscribe that way. We also have some other options right on the website, so be sure to check it out. Subscribe to our email newsletter so that you can be notified of all our updates in the future. That's it for today. Take care, and until then, enjoy the outdoors.